going to go ahead and get started with Sunday school. Hope everyone had a good drive in. Everyone getting shocked by the drastic weather change from yesterday. I was in t-shirt yesterday, and today I could wear my whole winter suit. Good grief. Went from 62 to 32 real quick. But I guess that's winter. So, but if you would, I'm going to ask you if you're able, if you'd please stand with me and turn to page 348. We're going to sing Redeemed.
Something from it. So thankful that we have a God that redeemed us, that we're saved. All our sins are hid under the blood. We want to thank you, Lord, for that. Pray for our pastor. I pray, Father God, again, as always I do, I pray for your own children. Touch him, Lord. Hide him behind your cross. Father God, I pray you do mighty things in our midst here this morning, in spite of ourselves, Father God. I pray, Father God, as we that this service would be a blessing to you. So we'll give you praise for what's going to happen here this morning. In Jesus' name, bless the song singing now. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 49. Blessed be the name, page 49. Thank you. take our red scripture books here. And we're on page 14, I believe. We're going to do the first two verses there. Page 14, do the first two verses. Reaction of sin in human nature, described as coming from the heart, Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, manifests itself by many evils, Mark 7:22. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
Lord, for the sunshine this morning. Two of our bulbs decided to go out again. So maybe after services here, we could try to get the ladder back up here and get those switched out by tonight so that those over here don't have to sit in darkness. Amen. There's a lot going on. Thank the Lord we have heat this morning. Pray for our furnace. Something's going on with our furnace. Thank you, Brother Sam, again for all the help you've been to me the last couple of days here. Me and him have been trying to figure this thing out with our furnace. So thank the Lord I came in this morning. We have some heat, but somewhere we're losing water, so I had to turn the heat off again. Not sure what's going on there, so if you keep that in prayer as well, we'll be able to figure out and get that fixed this coming week. Please keep the Covels in prayer. I know Brother Joe's got a... They both tested positive for COVID. We stopped by over there yesterday, drop off a little food for him, and his voice is, he's having trouble with a cough, and so just keep them in prayer, keep the Hellies in prayer as well. I know both of them are now feeling pretty sick, and June and May, keep them in prayer. I know she's still quarantining herself from the family, so keep her in prayer and keep Brother June. I think he said the cough is getting a little bit better, but he hasn't been able to get much sleep. He's been having to sleep sitting up. And he said it's not going well, so I know they're really going through it as well. So please just keep all three of them and those three families in prayer, and just the sicknesses that they're going through, and just that they'll get well quickly, and God will protect the rest of us, that nobody else here would get it, that it would stay at bay. Things are definitely going around now, especially with moving into wintertime. If you take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 3 this morning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. We'll continue on here in our study in the book of Genesis, and we'll look at verses 14 and 15 this morning. Get into context, though. We'll start with verse number 8, and the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And the Lord says to him here in verse 11, he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the hand of thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct, dear God, to just give wisdom and thoughts, dear Lord, what you'd have said. Lord, that you'd be glorified, honored. Lord, that you would help us to draw even closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Help us to stay faithful, Lord. Help us to finish the course that you've set before us in each of our individual lives. Dear God, that we would fight the good fight, and Lord, that we would keep the faith till you call us home someday. And Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord speaks to the serpent, and he says to the serpent, he says, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You look back to verse 13, and the woman, when she's confronted by the Lord, she gives the answer in verse 13 when the Lord says, what is this that thou hast done? The woman says that the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, the serpent tricked her. The serpent was subtle. The serpent knew what he was doing when he went into this thing, and he went to Eve. And I believe this, I know it's conjecture, but I don't think that this was the first time that Adam and Eve or Eve had a conversation with the serpent. It might have been, I don't know, it's conjecture on my part. The Bible doesn't say so. But to just all of a sudden jump into a conversation here, it may seem like there was conversation beforehand. And you see here, brethren, by God's grace as a pastor, I try to, by God's grace, and I know I'm going to fall in it because the book is very big and you'll never fully comprehend and understand all that's in God's Word. But I try to base everything off of Scripture. I try to give Bible for reasons why I do such things, and I try to base what I preach off of Scripture. And you see here that the woman is deceived. She's the one beguiled. We look further on into the New Testament, and we know in this situation here that Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what was going on. Adam, from what we can see in the Scripture, is right there at this time with Eve. She's having a conversation with the serpent about this tree, about what you can do, what you can't do, what you shouldn't eat, what you shouldn't. Adam's standing there, and he's keeping his mouth quiet. He's not saying anything, or at least the Bible doesn't show us that Adam is in on this conversation. What the Bible shows us, he's silent. And yet the woman recognizes as soon as she's dealt with by the Lord, she comes to the conclusion that the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. He used craftiness. He used subtlety to get me to do what I shouldn't have done. And like that furnace downstairs, there ought to have been a check valve. And that check valve for that woman ought to have been her husband before everything exploded. You see, I'm thankful me and Brother Sam talked about it. I know, Brother Dave, you were in heating and air, and I don't know about if you ever worked on boiler systems, and those types of systems make me nervous. Anything that can go boom because there's not enough of something in it, that scares me because I have no clue what I'm doing with it. And everything I've learned about boiler systems is they can go really a really big boom. And I don't want to be around if that does happen. Crockpots. Crockpots are good. But crockpots got to be used in the right way. They have a release valve. They have a check valve to make sure that they don't explode. They have a good purpose to them. But they also have a check valve because if they run low on water, you're in a dangerous spot. One time my wife was using an old-fashioned pressure cooker, and my mother-in-law uses them all the time, and they make wonderful pork chops. And it cooks quickly, it's nice to have, but they're also dangerous. One time she was using an old pressure cooker, and we came home from Sunday morning service, and she usually do that to make a quick meal, and we were talking, and usually I'm the one, because she was scared, and all right, rifle, I understand, to take it off the stove and move it over to the sink to run cold water over it to release it cool it down. We've done it. I've done it, I don't know how many times before, but for whatever reason, this time we were talking about something in depth. And as we're talking, I'm not paying attention to the sound that it's supposed to make before you can unlatch it to open it up. And I'm not paying attention because we're talking. So I go to pop that thing and I go to turn it to open up, and that pressure wasn't released yet. Thank the Lord it all blew towards the back of the sink and not towards my stomach, or else I'd have had some burns on me. But I say that to say that those pressure cookers, they're good. They have a right purpose to them. They can produce some wonderful food. They need a check valve. Same with that furnace downstairs. Thank the Lord for all the safety measures in it and check valves. Eve here, Adam should have stepped in before this whole thing blew up and been a check valve and saying, all right, honey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to take this fruit because God commanded me. God commanded me that I shouldn't partake of this fruit because it's forbidden. Yet he let Eve go on and partake of it, and Eve was beguiled. Eve was tricked into falling into the trap of the enemy, and she partook of the fruit. From the very beginning, we find here that the devil hates true biblical womanhood. Very beginning. From the very beginning, the devil hates true biblical womanhood. And from the time there in the garden up to December 12th, 2021, at 9:50 here a.m. in the morning, the devil in all his power is trying to destroy true biblical womanhood. What a woman ought to be according to the scriptures. And he's done a wonderful job with it. He's done a wonderful job with it. He's done a very wonderful job with it. Take your Bible, look over at Proverbs chapter 31. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31, I want you to look at verse number 10. Proverbs 31, verse number 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 31. Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You see, one of the most valuable things on this planet, according to the scriptures, again, according to the word of God, one of the most valuable things that you can find on this planet, Earth, is a virtuous woman. Because the Bible says that if you can find a virtuous woman, her value is not at the value of rubies. It's not equal to rubies. Rubies are very valuable. It's not on the same level as the value of rubies. The Bible says, not only is it above the value of rubies, it says it's far above the value of rubies. A virtuous woman. Look what it says in verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now we're going to look back here in Genesis, and the Lord tells Eve that her husband, her desire is to be to who? Her husband. And her husband shall rule over her. I'm afraid today, and I've heard it in many marriages, that we have separate bank accounts. No. There ought not to be two separate bank accounts. It ought to be one bank account. You're one couple. If you're married, you're one. It's not my money, her money. I pay these bills, you pay these bills. No, that leads to division eventually. It leads to division eventually. My wife doesn't have her own money to go do what she wants to go do with whatever money she's got to do with it. No. You say, preacher, see, a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of individuals and Christian individuals would not like this. But it's Bible. The Bible says from the very beginning, your husband, he'll rule over you. Rule over you. Here the Bible says in verse 12, of Proverbs 31, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willing with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion for her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth forth her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She open her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How many women today, Christian, good Christian women, sometimes are too worried about fashion rather than the true clothing that God puts the emphasis on? The Bible says here, strength and honor are her clothing. This woman here now, I believe a woman ought to be delicate and precious as a flower, but she ought to have some stick-to-itiveness to her as well. A woman ought not to be come across like, "Oh, I'm tough." There ought to be some fortitude to a woman, and the Bible shows that here. But there also needs to be a delicacy and a tenderness there, and a vice versa for men. Today, you have men being effeminate and women desiring to be masculine. It's flipped upside down. And the devil's done so. The devil is trying to get women to act like men, and men to act like women, and children to act like adults. And adults, unfortunately today, a lot of them are acting like children. Flip everything upside down from what God says how it should be. There is a proper structure that the Lord set up. A proper structure. The Bible says in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. When you read through this Proverbs 31 woman, nowhere in here are you going to see where she puts the emphasis on herself. All the emphasis here in Proverbs 31, 10 through verse 31. This woman, this virtuous woman, her eyesight, her heart, her means and how she lives her life is for others. For her husband, for her children, and the Bible says here, for her household. And she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. A virtuous woman's not lazy. She's industrious. She takes the time that God's given her to use it for God's glory and honor and how she can help her household. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Verse 30 now. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that what? A woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. A godly, virtuous woman will fear the Lord, and she'll receive praise in due time. She'll receive the praise in due time. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. A godly, virtuous woman is what the Lord desires. Yet Satan here in Genesis chapter 3 comes in through subtlety and tries from the very beginning to destroy what God has set up. You see, there's also two other groups that Satan hates, and that's the Jews and true Bible-believing Christians. The Bible says in Genesis 3 that the Lord says he'll put enmity between the woman, thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Enmity means the quality of being an enemy, hostile or unfriendly disposition. There, from the very beginning, there is enmity. They are now enemies, the woman and Satan from the beginning. And also, as you go through your Bible, you find that not only does the Satan hate and there's enmity between him and the woman, there's also enmity between him and the Jewish people and true Bible-believing Christians. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. The enemy, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, hates those that strive or desire to live righteous lives. If you walk out these doors today and in your mind you determine, you say, Lord, I desire to live an even more righteous and holy life for you, expect for the battle to increase. It's not going to diminish. Now, if you stay stagnant, it might not be as bad. But if you strive to implement what Scripture says we ought to do, the battle is only going to increase because the devil hates those that strive to live righteous lives. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says here, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 11. You're merely 5, 6, maybe 7 pages into the Bible. From what we can see in Scripture, you have, it appears to be 4 people on the planet. And you're not even 5 to 6 pages in, and one of those individuals is killing another one. Why? Because of what we read in the Scripture verses this morning. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed, first thing, evil thoughts. That's where it starts, brethren. Evil thoughts. I'm not saying it never happens. Well, I would say it's very minimal that a murder takes place without some evil thoughts beforehand. So you don't get to murder. You usually don't get to murder before there's some preconceived thoughts of why you want to murder this individual. Cain just didn't wake up one day and say, you know what? I think I'm going to kill Abel today. No, there was evil thoughts there because look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. 1 John 3, verse 11. Seeing then that that all these things shall be dissolved. No, that's 2 Peter. Yeah, I'm off. 1 Peter 3, my bad, sorry. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 11. The Bible says here, for this is the message that ye heard from when? The beginning. That we should love one another. Stay in a consistent level of love towards one another. 1 John's all about loving the brethren. All about loving the brethren. You see, love is like that steam down there in that boiler. You let that level get a little too low and things are going to blow up on you. You let love get a little too low on you and some things are going to blow up on you in your life. Look what happens here. He says that you heard from the beginning that you should love one another. Verse 12 says, not as Cain. Cain lacked love. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. I'm going to stop right here, a little tiny rabbit trail. Satan didn't sleep with Eve and produce Cain. All right? That's an old Jewish fable. People out there teach it, that Cain came from a result of relations between the serpent or the devil and Eve, and that was Cain was the product. No, that's an old Jewish fable. It's not Bibled. I would have kids at the juvenile center come up and want to argue with me about that. Didn't Cain come from the devil? No. Mm-mm. All right, so just stop there for a second, because where the Bible says here that he was of that wicked one. Satan didn't produce Cain from lying with Eve. He got to him because his heart was wicked. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill Abel? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Why do certain individuals tear down other individuals? usually maybe sometimes because their works are evil and their brother's or their sister's works are righteous. That's why Cain slew Abel. Abel did what God wanted them to do. Cain thought he could make a shortcut and bring what he thought. And yet God says he had respect to Abel's offering and he had not respect to Cain's offering because Cain brought of the fruit of his hands and the work of his hands into the field. That's why he slew his brother, because his brother's works were righteous and his were evil. Why does the devil hate the woman? Why does the devil hate true Bible-believing Christianities? Why does the devil hate the Jewish people, specifically there during the Old Testament? Because they were supposed to be people of righteousness. The Jewish people were supposed to be a peculiar people. They were supposed to be a people that had the only true God. They worshiped the only true God. And God set some things up to make them different from all the other nations around them. And what it produced, instead of those nations coming and saying, you have the true God, and we want to worship the true God like you do, teach us. No, it made these other nations jealous and a hatred of the Jewish people because they served and tried to live for the true God. You see the same thing happening today. You're not going to get a lot of backlash from the world if you talk like the world, look like the world, and dress like the world, and act like the world. You're probably not going to get a lot of backlash from the world. But you start trying to take some steps to be separate from the world. The Bible says, the Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate. You start separating from the world, you're going to find out real quick what they think. But a lot of Christians, they are afraid of separating themselves from the world. The world is not your friend. You know one of the red flags of false teachers? I'm going to give you another red flag. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. If some preacher out there has put out a book and it's a multi-million dollar seller, it's probably not good. If you find it at the scriptures section there at Walmart on a little shelf that spins around, unless it's a King James Bible, it's probably not good. Why? Because it's hot. It's good enough for Walmart to put it up. And I guarantee it's probably not going to cause no offenses. True Christianity is an offense. How many times you read through your New Testament, they can't decide, Lord, you offended them. Lord, you offended them. Lord, you hurt their feelings. And the Lord looks at them at one point and says, will you also go away? The Bible says in Psalm 119, I believe it's 163, I believe that's the verse, I could be wrong. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, if you love God, look, I don't mean to be, but once you're saved, isn't the flesh dead to Christ? Aren't we dead men walking? Put the old man to death, mortify the deeds of the body, let the new man live through this flesh. Does a dead man talk? No. Does a dead man get offended? No, because he's dead. You see, if you're dead to yourself and alive unto Christ, nothing should offend you. That's a hard place to get to, though. That's a very hard place to get to. How quickly are we offended today? How quickly are we offended? But a dead man doesn't get offended. You see, Cain got offended. His works were righteous, and his works were wicked, and his brothers were righteous. Take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. There's enmity, brethren, from the very beginning. There's the enemy of our souls from the very beginning, especially for women. He says to Eve, I will put enmity between thee and thy seed, between you and the serpent. The Bible says, it shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise his heel, referring to a messianic prophecy there. There's enmity between us and the devil. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Cain desired to live righteous, or Abel desired to live righteously. Cain couldn't stand it. Thus, Cain, evil thoughts proceeded from his heart and into his mind. These thoughts, he didn't bring them to subjection, and he ended up murdering his brother because of these things. Now, the Bible says in the latter part there, back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about the first prophecy we find here in the Bible referring to the Messiah. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the latter part there, it says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The Lord talking to the serpent here, and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise," what? Her seed. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." First prophecy, messianic prophecy. Take your Bible and look over Luke chapter. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. "I am thankful from the very beginning that God had a remedy for sin." I'm thankful from the very beginning the Lord was, the Lord God of heaven was not taken by surprise at the fall of Adam and Eve and the sin they committed. And from the very beginning, the Lord had a plan. The Lord had the remedy for sin. And that was through his seed, through the woman's seed, who was the Messiah, the Christ, who would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if thou confirmeth, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto." Verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Flip over to chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." We receive the adoption of sons. But the enemy hates that seed. Take your Bible, look over at John chapter 12. John 12, verse 27. John 12, verse 27. John 12, verse 27. The Bible says here, "Now," the Lord speaking, Jesus Christ, he says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Brethren, can you imagine being around at that time? You see, this thing here of the Lord becoming, the Lord being made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You want to talk about a spiritual battle. You want to talk about a darkness coming over the whole earth and whole planet. Brethren, to deny Jesus Christ is to deny the sun in the sky. Brethren, we are all, our time, how we keep time is based off of before Christ and after Christ. Time that we keep was stopped some 2,000 years ago, and we started counting forward because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something going on there at that time when the Lord's getting ready to come into Jerusalem. He knows that week right before he's getting ready to be crucified, all the spiritual entities there and everything going on there because of the Lord and what he's getting ready to go do. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 14, verse 30. John chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus says here, he says to his disciples, says it's hereafter, John 14, 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you. He's there at the Last Supper. They're up there in that upper room and he's talking with them. And he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you. He says, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. There's something getting ready to take place. And what's getting ready to take place is he's getting ready to bruise the head of the serpent. Look, and he's getting ready, as we're going to see in the scriptures, he's getting ready to be crucified, to become sin for us, who knew no sin. He's going to die on that cross. He's going to shed his blood. He's going to be taken off that cross. He's going to be put in that sepulcher that's never been anybody in it before. He's going to die. He's going to be buried, and he's going to raise again the third day. And he is going to bruise the head of the serpent. But so doing so, his heel is going to be bruised. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We have victory, brethren, today. We have victory today. We have the ability to overcome. We have the ability today to overcome sin in our life through what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have the ability to live victorious lives for our Savior. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, look what the Bible says here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Brethren, stop it. Brethren, that blows my mind away when I stop and think that God was willing through the Son to become manifest in the flesh. There's no other religion could even claim anything even close to true biblical Christianity. That God, the Trinity, God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, that God the Son was willing to take upon flesh and blood and become like his creatures, his creation, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can you imagine, as we read there on Sunday evenings in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that wherefore comfort one another with these words. What bondage, what torture, what anxiety the thought of death produces in the mind of a human being. You see, death is something that you have no control over, though we think we do. Doctors can only do so much for so long. Yet what glory it is to realize that we now have victory over death through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. He says, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. We don't have a God that doesn't understand. We don't have a God that cannot be talked to. We have a Savior who at this moment is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. We can now come boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. He has bruised the head of the serpent. Someday that serpent is going to be cast into that lake of fire forever. What a day that will be. Brethren, we'll be witnesses to that. We'll be witnesses to that day when the Lord takes that old serpent, the devil, takes him and just tosses him into that lake of fire and brimstone forever to be tormented. There was a song when I forget what group it is, because I think it was the Beatles. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. Sympathy for the Devil. There ought to be no sympathy for the devil. No sympathy for the devil. You know why all these bad things happen on this planet? Because of sin. Somebody say, well, if God's so loving, why does he allow all these bad things to happen? God didn't set it up this way from the beginning. Man chose it. Why is there suffering? Man chose it. Man chose to rebel against God. Adam chose to listen to his wife rather than do what was right. Adam chose rather to follow the direction of his wife and her taking of that fruit and follow and take those steps, which brought sorrow into the world. Sorrow. Sorrow is this, brethren. The uneasiness of pain of mind which is produced by the loss of any good, or frustrated hopes of good, or expected loss of happiness. Sorrow means to grieve. Sorrow means to be sad. Genesis 3:16, the Lord comes back to Eve after he talks about her seed bruising the head of the serpent and the serpent bruising his heel. He says in verse 16, going working his way back up again, the Lord, he goes back to the woman. He says unto the woman, he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sorrow shall be multiplied to the woman and thy conception. Because of Eve's disobedience to God's commands, God comes to Eve and says, your punishment now is that your sorrows will be multiplied and thy conception. And in sorrow, he says to Eve, he says, and in sorrow, through much grief, through much sadness, through expected loss of happiness, you'll bring forth children. I did just a little bit of research on this, and we'll close with some of these thoughts here this morning. You know one of the most dangerous times for a woman? It's pregnancy. Conception. Pregnancy and bringing forth a child. Most dangerous times in a woman's life. The average rate in the European Union is 8 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. Things have gotten a lot better with medicine. I thank the Lord for our healthcare system. I'll say it again. I'll thank the Lord for the United States healthcare system. I'm glad I'm not living in Haiti right now and relying upon their healthcare system. Actually, I don't even know if they don't even have a healthcare system. I'm glad I'm not in Sierra Leone and relying upon that healthcare system. I'm glad I live in the United States of America, and I'm thankful for the doctors we do have and the technology we have. I wonder right now if my wife would still be here if it wasn't for modern technology and doctors because of some of the births that she went through. When you're sitting in the hospital room and all of a sudden they rush your wife into the emergency room and they're flipping her on her back because her blood pressure just dropped out and they have to do an emergency C-section, I'm thankful for doctors. You see, I think sometimes in America we get a little spoiled with the system we have. System, brethren, unless you've taken some trips to some third world country, you ought to be very, very, very thankful that we have not just one hospital in Lehigh Valley. We have multiple hospitals. We ought to be thankful in America that if one now should have a dire emergency, we can dial 911 and a vehicle will come here and rush us to the hospital. That does not exist in the Dominican Republic. There is no ambulatory system in the Dominican Republic. You break your leg, you have a heart attack 3 hours from a hospital, guess what? You better have a transportation to get there, or you're going to have to deal with it right then and there. There is no medevac. Brethren, we got a lot to be thankful for. God help us to never complain about what we have here in the United States of America. In some countries such as Poland, Greece, Finland, and Sweden, the rate is even lower, 3 to 4 per 100,000. Listen to this now. In Sierra Leone, a woman is 300 to 400 times more likely to die with each pregnancy. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. An estimated rate of 1,360 deaths per 100,000 live births, around 1 in 75% pregnancies ends in death of the mother. Another article said this, by the late stages of pregnancy and during childbirth, almost anything can go wrong. Pregnant women are sapped of energy. They are susceptible to infectious disease. The baby's head is enormous. Labor takes much longer in humans than in other primates. Women often push for days. Historically, women died of peripheral fever, also called childbed fever or postpartum sepsis, an infection usually contracted during childbirth. A woman also can die from hemorrhaging and eclampsia. Brethren, before we had all this modern technology and healthcare system here in the United States, there was a lot of women that died from pregnancy. You say, preacher, why? You can trace all back Genesis 3:16. The Lord says to Eve, he says, and unto a woman I said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. I just looked at a little bit here dealing with women dying during pregnancy. It's estimated at 1.9 million children were born, stillborn in 2019. Worldwide. You tell me that's not sorrowful. We lost three children. That's sorrowful. It's sorrowful. And I don't say anything these things this morning to stir up old memories of something that you might have gone through. I'm trying to validate what Scripture's saying. What God said to Eve is because you sinned, sorrow is going to accompany it. Brother, I'm going to close with this. There is no shortcut around the commandments of God. There are no shortcuts around what Scripture says. If we don't do what God says and we choose rather to sin and go in our own ways, there eventually, if not almost immediately, will sorrow accompany our sin. There is no good thing that comes from sin. There is no good thing that comes from disobeying God's commands. It produces sorrow. Now, can God forgive that? Yes. Can God work things out for His good? Yes. But there's consequences to those actions, and those consequences aren't pleasant. You see, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, Eve and women, all the women after her, are going to have sorrow through their conception and sorrow as they bring forth children because of sin. God help us to live righteous and holy lives for Him and go forth in godliness and holiness. And as 2 Peter says, be partakers of the divine nature. You see, sin no longer has dominion over us. We now have the ability to bring sin into subjection in our own lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know some of these things were heavy this morning, dear God. But Lord, help us to realize what sin does. And Lord, help us to never take lightly sin. And Lord, if there be sin in our lives, Lord, help us to make it right immediately and get underneath the blood of Christ. Lord, help us to draw near to you, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that you've given us victory over sin, death, and hell through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're now heirs of salvation. Lord, help us to live like it. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Brent, we'll take a little break here and get started soon. Amen.